Get to our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Matthew 5, especially these words. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, so far text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there at this time? Right before this, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus had called Peter and Andrew, James and John from their fishing careers. They left everything, their boats, the nets, father, and followed Jesus. With one word, Jesus uprooted them from their lives and gave them hope. Jesus began healing every disease as people came to him from all over Judea and Jerusalem. Every disease was healed and rolled back. Surely this was the Son of God. Who else could heal in this way? And then Matthew in his gospel takes a pause here. From all of the action of calling fishermen to be fishers of men, from all of the action of healing sinners, there is this pause. As Jesus goes up on the high mountain, so often God meets sinners on mountains, Horeb or Sinai or Carmel in the Old Testament. And here, God meets with sinners as well. Jesus sits down and begins teaching them. What a contrast to the action of chapter 4 in Matthew's gospel. All of the healings and all of the excitement. And now the crowd sits and listens. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Wow. It's as if Jesus is giving the crowds words to live by, isn't it? Here is what he is directing them to do and to be. Sounds, well, simple. The crowds must have immediately associated this with the Ten Commandments. As Moses went up on Sinai for those 40 days and 40 nights, and God wrote the Ten Commandments, giving them to Moses, 10 simple laws to live by. Jesus, it seems, is redoing those commandments with these beatitudes. Be poor in spirit. Be those who mourn, and those who are meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Be those who are merciful and pure in heart. Be the peacemakers. Jesus commands these things. And it sounds so easy, doesn't it? To be humble and meek and poor in spirit. No problem, Jesus. We got this. But how meek, how poor in spirit, how hungering and thirsting for righteousness, how much is required of us here, Jesus? Little bit? An outward show? If we can look like we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, if it looks like it, Jesus, isn't that good enough? If it looks like we're meek, at least on the outside, is that good enough? If it looks like we're peacemakers on the outside, wouldn't that be good enough, Jesus? You know, just an outward show isn't enough for God. God doesn't just look at the outward things of us, but he looks inward as well to what's going on in our thoughts, our hearts. Are we really peacemakers? Are we really hungering and thirsting for righteousness, not just on the outside, but on the inside? Maybe our answer is, well, sometimes. That's us. But Jesus doesn't just demand it sometimes. He demands it all the time. Complete, entire obedience. Here we begin seeing and understanding the way of the law. The law demands entire obedience. It never lets up. How much? All. How much meekness? All. How much should we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Entirely. It's a difficult standard. It's an impossible standard for us. Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus takes the law given to Moses on Sinai and makes it even more difficult for us to do. Jesus says a little bit later in Matthew's Gospel here, "You've heard it said, you shall not murder. I tell you, you shall not even be angry at your brother." Pharisees thought they had that one covered. The fifth commandment, do not murder. Jesus says, even being angry in your heart, you break that commandment. You've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, even if you look at someone with a lustful intent, you break that commandment. It's not just the act of doing, but it's the inclination, it's the thought. Jesus' point here is that you and I don't keep the law. We are not as meek as we should be. We do not hunger and thirst for righteousness as we ought. We are not merciful as we should be. None of these things is us. We are by nature sinful and unclean. Jesus implores us in the Sermon on the Mount to realize that, to acknowledge who we are before God, to repent of our sins. That's what Jesus demands. As we see who we are, we begin to understand that we cannot save ourselves from our sinful condition, but that we need someone else, someone who these Beatitudes describe to a T, was merciful entirely, completely, was poor in spirit, not sometimes, or made an outward show of it, but entirely, someone who was pure in heart, without sin at all. Someone who is the peacemaker between sinners and God. Someone who hungered and thirsted for righteousness, not his, but yours. Of course, you know who this one is. It's Jesus. These Beatitudes describe him. As we fail with every single one of them, Jesus never does. He is the perfect Son of God, the one who indeed calls those disciples to follow, the one who heals every dread disease, the one who works miracles, yes, to prove that he is God's Son, the one who lives under the law for your sake and travels on to the tree. There, at the cross, the demands of the law are stopped. The law ends right there as we see God revealed as God is, merciful and loving. The cross trumps those Ten Commandments, for Jesus there takes all of our sins on himself and pays the full price for us upon the tree in his own body. There we find the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us, that he would not have us die in our sins and trespasses, but that he would send forth his perfect Son to save us. That is why Jesus calls his disciples. It's why Jesus heals sinners. It's why Jesus speaks here in the Sermon on the Mount, that you would see that he is God's Son sent to save you. That knowing your deep need for a Savior, would come to him full of sins, repenting, and be forgiven. In his name, amen.